Hello, 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 and a warm Wicca welcome to all of our witches, white lighters, and warlocks out there. My name is Clark.
And I'm Victoria, and you're listening to Charmed and Dangerous, a Charmed podcast. Breaking news! We are coming to you this evening live with information about a new murder.
Phoebe killed somebody.
Yeah, Phoebe did it.
So Phoebe out here starting modern day witch trials in episode 2, season 2, Morality Bites. In 10 years... apparently, she can kill people with her power. I don't entirely know how that works, but it do.
Yeah, this is early enough in the series that they haven't really developed how, like, far out the new powers are going to progress. Like, Piper and Prue's powers progressing is pretty easy. It's just like Piper has a wider range of freezing for longer, and Prue can move things like even more explosively and with more power. Like, at one point she waves her hand and the entire attic like blows up.
Yeah.
Which was pretty badass. But then they haven't really developed how Phoebe's passive power will turn into a more active power in 10 years. So they kind of give her like floaty zappy powers.
I feel like it's supposed to be like a physical manifestation of like psychic energy or something like that. But I feel like that's also probably like reaching a bit.
Yeah. It's a little reachy because I think they also could have been like, she's worked for 10 years on her martial arts and has become like a grade A assassin. Like, not assassin, but like she has the ability to like come up and just like punch a guy out or kind of like Ty Lee somebody. I think that would have been cool too if she had like worked with pressure points or any other kind of tactile form.
But they had to have it relate back to her magic because of the other kind of main focal point of this episode, which is Nathaniel Pratt and his crusade against witches.
Yeah. Very good point. So for our big bads this episode, since we've decided to just get right into it, Nathaniel Pratt is our big like actual villain. He, as Clark's just mentioned, has decided to have a crusade against modern witches. And when Phoebe is found out to have killed someone, to have killed a killer who killed someone that she cared about, and who then was...
Which is still wrong.
Yes, and who then was let off out of technicality, Phoebe decides to become a witch vigilante, which is not good. Don't kill people, kids. And Nathaniel...
She says to our audience of, like, 20-something-year-old women.
Whatever age you are my child. Don't kill. Mommy says so. Please don't kill people. But she is caught and then used to be made an example of in this crusade. And fittingly is burned alive.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking brutal.
This is a very serious episode. This is...
But...
This goes hard.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's definitely, like, not one of those episodes where you can fit a lot of, like, satire or, like, comedic relief or anything like that, because it is such a serious topic. Mm-hmm. And I think that they handle it really well. Because they don't make Phoebe out to be this, like, can-do-no-wrong character. Like, they acknowledge full and well that she did something severely fucked up and a man died for it. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he was a killer, the lesson being in this episode, it's, like, it's their job to protect the innocent, not punish the guilty.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how many demons they vanquish or anything like that, they only do that in the name of protecting somebody.
Yeah.
They don't do it to punish someone or teach someone a lesson.
Exactly. So, technically, in this episode, I would also consider Phoebe to be her own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the choices that she makes and the way that she steps out of line not only gets herself killed and causes tons of emotional and physical trauma to, well, emotional and mental trauma to the other charmed ones, but it also leads to kind of the explosion of these witch hunts, which displaces hundreds of people from their homes and probably ends up, it can be assumed that if it doesn't end with Phoebe, that it also leads to the deaths of other people, whether they're witches or not, who are innocent.
Mm-hmm. Just like the actual witch trials.
Yes, exactly.
Like, it probably started with something that someone believed was true and frightening and all that stuff. And then it went on to just hurt more innocent people than was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because the necessary amount of innocent people to hurt is zero.
Yes, exactly. And so she, and it's difficult to watch because Phoebe is such a, especially in these earlier seasons, she's such a happy-go-lucky character.
Mm-hmm.
So to see her not only, like, choose to pay the price for such a serious crime, but to be driven to that point. And we see kind of, so in this episode, just as a quick recap, once the sisters find out that Phoebe is going to be burned alive for killing someone in the year 2009, they go to the future, but instead of going to their future selves and talking to their future selves, they become their future selves. They literally just, it's like their spirits integrate into their future selves' bodies, and you get to see how the Charmed Ones have grown in the last 10 years.
But they have no memory of anything that has happened in the last 10 years.
Yes, and they have to learn what Phoebe's done, the consequences of her actions, and how the consequences of their actions have affected other people, not including their own lives and their own families.
Mm-hmm. Let's hop into this future version of the Charmed Ones, mm-hmm. and kind of see where the future is taking everybody. So we know Phoebe done diddly did a bed. So
to say the least,
we'll kind of glaze over that mostly just because we've talked about it already. But yeah, so this baseball player hurt somebody that she cared about, and so she used her powers to get revenge, got caught, and now is set to burn at the stake as an example. But like, as we said, she kind of came to terms with that. She just like, well, I know what I did was wrong and I gotta pay for that now.
Mm-hmm.
But on the brighter side, question mark? Prue
is a blonde.
Is like, she's a blonde, first of all. Second of all, she's a fucking head bitch in charge. She owns 4 Bucklands now.
Yeah, which is like, first of all, good for her. Good for you, sis.
Yeah.
Second of all, that blonde is, it's she's ashy.
It's not her color. Yeah.
No. Go for
bad.
Either.
It's very
and
bad.
And the cut. Why that cut? Okay, we're just going to talk about it for 1 second. if you're doing anything like that, it should have been a short to the shoulders blunt bob. And according to 2009 fashion, which we can look at, it would be like a more platinum color. But if she's a Fortune 500, she does not, like, she steps out of that limo looking like an L.A. wannabe. And I'm like, no, 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 Miss Thing. This is not your look. Also, she's dressed in 90s fashion.
Well, to be fair, like, they didn't actually know what 2009 was going to look like.
They could have tried.
Well, for all they knew, it was just going to be, like, I think, like, a fancier, more glammed up version of what the 90s were doing.
Perhaps.
But, yeah. Hair color, horrible. Didn't like it. I think it would have been better if they'd, like, done a better cut. But, like, yeah, if you're going to change your character's appearance that drastically, why wouldn't you do it in a way that made her look as fucking phenomenal as humanly possible?
Right?
Like, Piper, like...
Oh, Piper looked great!
Piper glowed the fuck up, and she was already gorgeous.
Oh, Piper
so,
looked
like,
so good. Those... The swept back curls with the casual button down, like, suit combo. So yeah. Good. That's what, because to me, if you were going to style it, of course, we are not coming for the charm stylists. They are excellent. They did what they could. We are not.
Don't lie. We're going to come for them every once in a while because some of these costumes and, like, choices are kind of ridiculous.
Okay, fine. But it was the 90s and we are not disrespecting anyone.
No.
So, just wanted to clear that up.
It's all in good fun.
Yeah, and these are opinions of two people. I personally can't dress myself. So, you know, I walk around in a potato sack every day. So, just, you know, to be clear, I especially am judging from the eyes of the blind. So, but if it were me, I would have had Piper in a straight black, not Piper, Prue in a straight black dress. And if you were going to do the blonde, do the down the middle part, but have it cut at the shoulders and have it be like either a dusty blonde or like do kind of that sun-kissed highlighty look.
Mm-hmm.
But that's enough. Prue is like living her best life. She owns 4 Bucklands, as Clark said. She's killing the game. She has a personal assistant. She has, you know, tons of assistants. She's living her life. And that's all really great. She gets dropped off at a limousine. She has money upon money upon money at her service. However, this is kind of a turning point for Prue, I think.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Because she doesn't have anything else. Like, she's, at this point, she's what, 41? Or 40?
Somewhere around, like, 40-ish.
She's between 38 and 40. 42. We'll give her that wide range at this point in time. And she doesn't have anything else but work. She doesn't have a family. She doesn't have a lover. We don't even know if she has pets. She literally does not.
Like, the people she works with, like, her personal assistant didn't even know who her sister was. Like, she's so cut off from everything personal and everything that, like, in my opinion, makes us human.
Yeah. So it's like, what good is it if you, you know, have all this money, if, you know, what are you doing with it?
Like, she even makes a comment at one point, and she says, if I were to die right now, my tombstone would say, here lies Prue. She worked hard.
Yeah.
Like, she is fully aware of the mistakes that she feels she's making in life.
And
because she does value family mm-hmm. over work at this point in time, and she doesn't want to lose track of that.
And it also is like, there's a scene where her personal assistant comes in and gives her paperwork that's gonna lay off like we don't get an exact number, but it's basically like, screw the little people is the thought process. And it's like, Prue is obviously like disgusted and embarrassed by that sentiment, because she herself at this point in time is still a little person and has a sister who works in the service industry, you know, like,
who is definitely one of the little people.
Yeah, exactly. So Prue seeing herself turn into this kind of like greedy, vapid person, it just, because it's one thing to work hard and it's one thing to, you know, prioritize your own success, but you have to be like happy with that decision. You have to be like, I'm prioritizing my success and my own self-love, not I'm prioritizing making money and I don't care who I have to kill to get it. Mm-hmm. Those are two very different sentiments.
For sure. And then we see, obviously, Piper 10 years into the future, and everything seems really great at first. She's got a daughter. She still lives in the manor, which she thinks is a bummer, but, like, come on. That house in the middle of San Francisco, like, come on.
And none of your sisters live there? Like, it's assumed that none of your sisters live there, so it's just her house?
Yeah, like, come on. Like, I guess she assumes that the sisters still live there, which is funny. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she has a daughter. She sees this, like, honkin' engagement / wedding ring combo on her hand, and she's like, oh. And then she finds out that her daughter can't use her magic, and her husband is her ex-husband. And she's like, what the fuck happened in the last 10 years that resulted in me having a daughter and losing a husband? And then we find out that said husband is our boy, Leo Wyatt. And we love every minute of it.
And it's really like, oh, it's brutal, because at the beginning of the episode, we see Leo again in 1999. And they, like, have, like, a really nice moment, and they're talking about, you know, they're trying to make plans with each other, and then they're both kind of busy, so it doesn't really bounce. But it's very, like, oh, well, we'll just talk about it later. You know, it's just very like that. And then to see the body language, I think how they did it was really, really good. Because in the future, when Piper accidentally freezes an entire area, Leo comes, like, stalking towards her. And it's very, like, it is filled with vitriol. Like, it is like, I knew you would do something stupid like this, using your magic in public. Do you want, you know, what about our daughter? And he's just, like, so angry. And she, like, goes forward to, like, hug him, and he, like, flinches. So it's obvious that their marriage has been on the rocks for, like, a minute.
Yeah, like, something happened.
And,
like, it's not just like, oh, we grew apart. Like,
no, it's definitely not, we didn't communicate enough, and now, you know, I'm falling in love with someone else. It's, your sister literally jeopardized the fate of the known world, and our daughter, and we never talk, and, like, it's, like, a whole bunch of stuff that makes them act like that.
10 years of building issues in one scene.
And then they go up, and the Prue and Piper are trying to explain, hey, you know, I understand that you have beef with current Piper, but I'm not current Piper. I'm Piper from 10 years ago, and I don't know what's going on, and I need you to explain. And Leo's like, okay, sure. And Piper just, like, grabs his little face and smooches on him. And he's like, you haven't kissed me like that. And she's like, since this morning, 1999.
Yeah. Yes, I love that part.
Oh, my God. It's a beautiful scene, because not only does it, you know, illuminate Leo into the situation, but it also changes his body language completely.
Well, yeah, and you can see that, like, he's still, like, deeply in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is not what you would think when you first see him. Like, you would think that they were fucking mortal enemies.
Yeah.
But, like, you can see that he still deeply cares about her. There's just something beyond their control that's happening.
And it's also, like, you can tell that Leo, just as Clark said, it's not that he doesn't love her. He's just, like, hurt and angry and tired. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. He's just been worn down. And then Melinda is their daughter's name, and Piper is supposed to bind her powers to protect her. And she can't. And she's, like, standing at the window looking at Melinda, and Leo comes up behind her and is like, "You can't do it, can you?" She's like, "No." And then she's like, "Are you going to stop me from going to rescue Phoebe?" And he's like, "You know, I can't." And there's just, like, first of all, he has tears in the corner of his eyes.
Oh, it's such an emotional scene.
Oh, my God. Because it's, like, he knows that this, like, it's almost the insinuation that between their last meeting, he's been thinking about where everything went wrong.
Yeah. And, I mean, take away from the fact that these are characters, Holly Marie Combs and Brian Krause have some of the best on-screen chemistry I have ever seen in my life.
They have phenomenal chemistry.
Like, they just blend so well together. Like, they play off of each other's strengths, and, like, they lessen each other's weaknesses. It's just, it's a beautiful combo. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought that.
And they're just, like, there's something about the way that they interact and flow together that's very, it's not clean. Like, it's clean. There's, you know, it's well rehearsed. It's practiced. There's nothing clunky about it, but it's like,
but it feels real.
Yeah.
It feels natural.
It feels so natural. It feels so, like, when they're flirting, they're flirting. When they're sad, they're sad. You know, it just, it has a real depth to it that I really enjoy, but they say goodbye, and there's also this kind of insinuation of, if you don't save Phoebe, you'll die with her, or we're never going to see each other again, because mm-hmm. you're going to take her and go. And I just think that their kind of goodbye scene is something really special and really beautiful.
I agree.
And it's nice that when Piper does come back to the present, or goes back to the present, she kind of starts to right those little wrongs. Like,
yeah.
She immediately grabs him by the face and kisses him and tells him, you know, kind of how she feels with actions. And then she also takes the time to be like, "Remember that you said you'd work on it," you know? And they just, you can tell that Piper is willing to work on it too. And I just love this point in their relationship, because it is hard. It's not, you know, a linear relationship like you would expect a girl like Piper to have.
Right.
You know, you would expect her to date, go on 3 or 4 dates, and then it's, we should go steady, and then it's, we move in together, and then it's the purity or the promise ring, and then it's the marriage, and then it's the baby, and then it's the second baby, and then it's retirement. You know, you would expect a girl like Piper to have a very linear relationship, and instead she has this very tumultuous off and on, when you're here, when I'm there, back and forth for years.
Right.
And so it's very, it's special when they do have those moments of just, we're in love with each other.
Let's make it work.
Let's make it work. Exactly. Well, our final talking point is, it is revealed at the end of the episode how intensely small choices can lead to big consequences.
Right.
Because at the beginning of our episode, the sisters freeze and then kind of throw dog shit back onto this man who has allowed his dog to shit on their grass, and he kind of sees it.
Right.
And Phoebe's like, what is he going to do? Cry witch? Wah-ha-hell. It turns out that this man is Nathaniel Pratt himself. And if they hadn't used their powers for personal gain at that moment, it wouldn't create the butterfly effect that gets Phoebe charboiled.
Charboiled. Cut that, please.
Charbroiled.
Charbroiled. grilled in future episodes or future time. God. So it's like the first lesson of no, like we've already gone over this. You cannot use your power for personal gain, but you really, really cannot use your power for personal gain, especially when it involves other people.
Right.
Because any revelation of the supernatural to a normal person is going to lead to this, this, and this, and this in your future. So.
And we'll see that recurring, especially throughout this season and the next.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, butterfly effect is kind of pretty big here. Like, make one small choice and it could lead to the endangerment of hundreds, if not thousands, of people that probably didn't do anything to deserve it. So, and I like that they take a moment and, like, at the end of the episode, they're, like, ready to do it again, and Phoebe's just like, you guys.
Yeah, did we learn nothing?
We just learned this lesson, like. And then they find out that it was Pratt, and they're like, oh, shit. Fuck, that's what happened.
Literally. Literally. So don't take revenge on people. Talk to them.
Don't.
Communicate. If Phoebe had just walked out there like her original plan and been like, hey, please stop letting your dog poop on our lawn. Like, maybe this man would have been snide about it and he would have been like, "Who? Whatever." But most people, when they're called out on a negative action, like if I did that and some lady, some beautiful woman, walked out from her house and was like, hey, can you please not have your dog poop on my grass? I would be like, ma'am, I am so sorry. If you have a plastic bag, I will pick it up right now. Like, most people, if you call them out on their actions, will either apologize or they'll correct their behavior or they'll just make sure to never see you again.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
But that leads us into our personal gain, and I kind of want to give them two, like, full points, or, like, a point and a half for the dog poop thing, because they almost did it again after learning all of those lessons.
Okay, that's fair. We will give them two full personal gain points, and then are we counting all of the spell work for breaking in to get Phoebe?
I think so, because they had the intent of using their magic to free her of her own, like...
Punishment?
Punishment, yeah.
Okay, then that gives us three this episode, and gives...
They were doing so well!
I know, and we are now at 38.
Fucking crazy.
38.
They were doing... so well. And then they had a whole episode about personal gain.
So, two per episode for the second season. 38 in total.
Ugh. Well, V, what was your favorite line or your favorite part in this episode?
I really, really enjoyed seeing Piper interact with sweet baby girl Melinda. I thought it was really cute. So that would be my favorite part, is Piper having a daughter and naming her Melinda.
Yeah, that is sweet. See, I struggled trying to find a favorite line or a favorite part, because there's some good, like, quippy one-liners. There's a lot of good moments in this episode. So I know it's horrible, but I don't think I have a favorite part of this episode.
Not even, like, the steamy Leo makeout sessions?
I know, right? Like, I don't know. I felt like this episode as a whole was so important that not any one part particularly stood out. I think there was one line where Phoebe was still trying to figure out how she like killed somebody. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "What did I do? Premonition the man to death?" And that one was pretty good. But yeah, generally as a whole, nothing really stuck out more than anything else.
Okay. Totally fair. And it has been 0 days since we've seen Leo, so we're starting that counter.
Breaking news, Leo's back.
Or is he?
Bum bum bum.
We shall see.
Well, Victoria, out of literal funeral pyres, how would you rate this episode?
I would give this episode probably like, I'm going to say 4.3 funeral pyres.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's very serious. It's a very important episode. It has a lot of really important topics in it. But it wasn't like I watched this and it's very like serious and very like intense, but I don't know if I would like rewatch it for entertainment purposes.
That's fair. I don't think I'd rewatch it for entertainment purposes, but I'd definitely rewatch it. I'd give it a 4.8. It's pretty close to a 5 for me. Like I said, I feel like this episode was just so cohesive, mm-hmm, that it didn't feel like there was really much room for error.
Okay, absolutely.
Well, on that note, I think that takes us out of here.
Alrighty.
Where can they find us on Twitter if they want to hang out with us?
You can find us on Twitter at @charmed_podcast. Where can they find us on Facebook, Clark?
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/charmedanddangerouspod. Where can they find us on Instagram, Victoria?
You can find us on Instagram at charmedanddangerouspod. Where can they find us for comments, snarky remarks, interesting discussions, sending us memes, Clark?
Ooh, charmed memes? I'm down. You can find us at our email at charmedanddangerouspod@gmail.com. But yeah, I think that's all we have for you guys today. Stay safe, stay healthy, wear your mask. Also, hit me up if you're trying to play Among Us, because I know all y'all are as obsessed as we are. have a great night. Blessed be my lovelies.
Blessed be.